Hey guys, welcome back to the Glam Chemist podcast. Today, I'm lucky enough to be talking to Rachel Johnson, also known as the Charismatic Chemist, and I'm so excited to share this conversation with you guys. We've already had tons of fun chatting, and I think you guys are going to take quite a bit away from this conversation with her. So without further ado, thank you for joining us.
Hi. I'm so happy to be here. Thank you so much for inviting me. I can't wait to get into what we'll be talking about today.
Awesome. Yeah, I'm so excited. The Charismatic Chemist is an understatement for your personality. I think you're so much fun and so inspiring, and I'm so excited to have people hear from you, and hopefully this won't be the last time we hear from you. But yeah, why don't you tell our listeners a little bit about yourself and how you got started in STEM?
Absolutely. Thank you so much for your kind words. I really do appreciate that. So as you know, I'm Rachel Johnson. I call myself the Charismatic Chemist. But how I got started into STEM, it was very long ago when I was a little girl. I was always like into science things, and like I'm very into my education and school. But I would say like I seriously got into STEM like once I got into college. I did not know that I was good at chemistry. I was actually running away from it. When I was in high school, like I had a chemistry teacher who wanted me to take AP chemistry, and I was like, no, everyone tells me that it's hard. Like, I could not do that. Like, I don't want to do it.
Meanwhile,
right? Like, I ran away from it. I was like, I'm not doing that. And then I went to college. I actually started with a concentration in psychology. But it just did not feel right. It didn't feel like me. So I was like, what else can I do? And I can't remember who suggested chemistry, or I think I did a quiz, actually. I did a quiz online to like help me figure out my major, and chemistry popped up in like one of the, psychology was one of them and chemistry was the other.
So I was like, okay. Tried one.
Yeah, I already tried one. So I was like, let me try chemistry. So I actually signed up as my major. I went to Valdosta State University, so I signed up for that concentration. And when I went to orientation, you know, I went through all the steps. Mm-hmm. And then I still was very insecure about it until the first day of class. And then, like, my first day in chemistry 101, I was like, I'm scared. People tell me it's hard. I don't know. And then I went to class and I was like, oh, I could totally do this. Like, this is not awesome. Yeah. I was like, this is not as hard as everybody told me it was going to be. And then I didn't stop. I just kept going. So
cool. I mean, I didn't have that reaction to chemistry 101. I remember walking in, not necessarily confident, because, you know, I'm a first generation graduate. So like, I didn't know what to expect from college. But when I got into class, I was like, holy crap, I'm out of my league here. Like, I have no idea how I made it through my chemistry degree, but it was like, I barely made it through my degree, I'm glad that I did it.
But yeah, I was saying I had the same experience like around sophomore year. Mm-hmm. I was like, "Woo, this is the getting a little hard when you start taking organic chemistry." But
mm-hmm. Yeah, we just talked to Nicole, the curly chemist, about organic chemistry, how humbling the experience can be. Like, you think you know everything.
I did catch that episode and I was like, I could totally relate. I can relate to this. It was extremely humbling. Like, I was mm-hmm. like, whoa. This is a different chemistry.
Yeah, it's a new experience. It's definitely like, you know, if you're going to continue on the route based on how you perform in orgo chemistry.
Exactly. It's a rite of passage, most definitely. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it can definitely be like the make or break point. I remember like our class got smaller that following semester. Like, people just started dropping out.
Yes, that's exactly how it was at my school too. But it was more because, you know, like the biology majors have to take organic chemistry too. Mm-hmm. So that's when I learned how to network.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah, let's talk about that a little bit. How did you start networking in college?
Oh yeah. So I would say my college was very encouraging when it came to networking. Like, we had a lot of clubs that were very active, and our professors encouraged, like my chemistry professors encouraged us to be involved with symposiums at the school as well as outside of the school. So I did poster presentations, I did a lot of undergrad research, and like working with other students in different majors as well as other chemistry majors, being a part of SMACS, all of that was happening in college. And like through all of those events and adventures, I learned how to communicate with other people that are like on the same level as me or, you know, above me that could possibly be mentors or, you know, good role models to look after. But it was mm-hmm. awesome. I really loved my college. I think it was very social, that it was a very encouraging environment, so much so that like they encourage it after graduation. Like Valdosta is super about keeping the alumni together and like having a network and talking to each other. I would say that's my alma mater really was like the groundwork for networking, because it's just mm-hmm. the vibe there. Like if you ever visit Valdosta State University, you will see like everybody's like super, super nice, super social. Like it's all about community and unity there.
That's awesome. That's such a great space to go into when you're like going into the college experience, because that could be the time where you're like the most lonely or like having the most transitions, and like building a community and feeling comfortable in that space and like having that as your foundation, your career is really, really healthy. So I just want to build on what you mentioned about your college experience. How did you end up finding, I know that we've spoken about this a little bit, but like, how did you end up finding your mentorships? I know that now you act as a mentor for some folks too, but how did you find your own mentor and your own build out your own network once you left college?
I did not know about the cosmetic chemistry or the industry at all before I graduated. I literally learned about it maybe a few weeks before I graduated. I did. It was required for me to do a seminar for me mm-hmm. to graduate with my bachelor's. And the seminar was of a topic of our choice. I wanted to do something that was interesting and that people wouldn't fall asleep to. So I did it on the synthesis of flavors and fragrances. It was awesome. Like it blew my mind, kind of like how flavor, like how the mm-hmm. tongue interprets flavor. That's what I was talking about. Most of the time was just the chemistry of interpretation with the tongue. It was awesome. But anyway, through my research of that, I learned about the cosmetic industry and I was like, mind blown. I was like, whoa, mm-hmm. I need to do this like now.
Yeah, I want to be a part of it now.
There were so many different opportunities out there. But once I got into it and started actively like applying for jobs and looking for opportunities, I realized that it was a very niche industry mm-hmm. and it was based off of experience and, you know, people that you know or being in close proximity to other things or businesses. So I started networking on LinkedIn, actually. I made a LinkedIn account like as an undergrad for a class, and mm-hmm. but I just never used it. And then once I graduated, I used it like 100% to its full capacity. I was like emailing other chemists, like anybody that had the job title that I wanted, I messaged them and asked them questions.
I did the same thing.
Yeah, I reverse searched on the back of the back of like with the product. Sometimes they have the address on the back. I reverse searched that to go find like where it was located to see if it was close to where I live and if I could apply there. Like all of the networking things and reach out mm-hmm. things that I learned in undergrad, I literally utilized them to like gain exposure, honestly. Like these people knew my name, even though that I didn't have any experience. So once I got into the industry and started working, people already knew my name.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it was super cool. But once I got into it, I started realizing that there's so many different ways to be in the industry. Like you can be in supply chain, you can be in mm-hmm. raw materials, you can be in R&D. And so I just kind of like followed the people that were doing the things that I wanted to do. And kind of just reach out to them and ask them like, hey, I want to do what you do. Like, do you have time to talk to me and like give me some advice, be my mentor if that's possible or anything like that? Just like literally no fear.
I love that. This conversation is super juicy and it's nice and long. So I just want to take 2 seconds to give you a word from our sponsor and we'll get right back to Rachel.
Let's let's rewind back to then. So I'm on LinkedIn and I'm networking, mm-hmm. I'm applying for jobs before I graduate, right? And then mm-hmm. after I graduated, I just like went full blown. Like I call it psycho mode, but no, I really felt like weird because I was literally sending out like over 200 emails.
Wow.
A day. Like
that's ambitious.
I know. I was crazy, right? I was like sending it to companies, to chemists, to recruiters, to, I mean, like all over. Wow. And I was just trying to get any type of opportunity. And I was home then, so I had already graduated, so I had time. So, and then once I get into it, I really didn't receive many opportunities. I got into the cycle of, oh, you need experience. Well, how am I going to get experience if I don't get a job, you know? Mm-hmm. I was only looking inside of Georgia at first, and I realized like the industry was really, really big in the New York, New Jersey area and in LA.
Yep.
So I just made up in my mind that I was going to move. You know, I was like, I'm going to New York. I don't care what anybody says. I don't care if I have it. I will sleep on the street.
Wow. The charismatic chemist for you all folks. She said, I'm leaving. I'm going to head to New York with a dream.
Literally, that's what I was going to do. My parents was like, no, you don't have to do that because, and they kind of like shed light on me that, you know, that companies will pay for you mm-hmm. to relocate. I did not know that as a recent graduate. So I was just like, I'm going to have to save money, like panicking, right? I'm going to have to mm-hmm. save money and travel and do all this other stuff by myself. And my parents was like, no, you don't have to do that. Just look for a job that offers relocation. I was like, oh, okay.
Lesson number one.
And yeah, just so you know, mostly every company will offer mm-hmm. to relocate you as part of our industry, as part of the job, you know, most of it's relocation. But yes, that was the first lesson, was learning that I did not have to pay my own relocation. So I expanded my search outside of Georgia. And then I just started doing job applications all over the nation and internationally as well, because there are a lot of companies that have mm-hmm. headquarters here in the U.S. Not headquarters, but branches in the U.S. Mm-hmm. But their headquarters are like in Italy or in Europe somewhere.
Yeah, or their R&D labs are over there. Yeah,
in Asian companies and things like that. A lot of places are in China, but they have branches here in the U.S. So it's a big interweb. Mm-hmm. So I was like, oh my gosh, like there's a lot of opportunity. I just have to position myself to get them, which means I have to have an open mind on where I'm going to be living for any extended period of time. So I kind of just went out and just put it all out there. You know, I apply everywhere, sent my resumes and emails and things like that. And I got an opportunity at a company in Idaho. So I relocated there. And I was there for 5.5 years where I built my skill set. And I was very ambitious about that as well. I was like a sponge. So every event, every learning opportunity, anything that I could use to build myself as a chemist, as a professional, and as a woman, I took that opportunity. Nice. I don't know if a lot of people know about Idaho, but there's not much there. There's not much there to do.
I sure don't.
Oh, yeah. Like, it's a lot of outdoor stuff to do. So there's a lot of rock climbing, mountain climbing trails, skiing, a lot of snow sports.
So you went from New York to Idaho. So you went from Georgia to New York.
Okay. I went to Georgia to Idaho.
Gotcha.
And I was there for 5.5 years. And then I left Idaho with no job.
Just another leap of faith.
Another leap of faith. I was going to go back to Georgia because I had a dream to build my business in Georgia, mm-hmm. like the business that I have now. I wanted to start it in Georgia. But once I got there and we were trying to get settled in, I realized that the environment was not conducive to our industry, right? So like, I'm talking about logistics, like getting mm-hmm. raw materials on time and like, the accessibility to business things. It was not fruitful there. So I felt like it was going to be harder for us to start in Georgia than in LA or New York. So I was like, I was consulting during this time as well. Like it was really the beginnings of the charismatic chemist. Mm-hmm. But then I was like, once I got into it, I wanted to learn a little bit more about color Like, I know how to color match and I know color cosmetics and I know that. But I was, at the time, I was getting a lot of inquiries for color projects.
That's,
and
so
I was like,
cool, but so hard.
Oh, yeah. It's color cosmetics is like the combination of regular cosmetic chemistry plus arts and crafts. Mm-hmm. It's very wild. So I was like, I'm strong. I felt strong in the formulation part, but I wanted to get better with color matching. Mm-hmm. So I was like, maybe I'm going to put a pause on consulting right now. And so I went to get, I went after a job through a recruiter in New York, where most of their business was color cosmetics. So that, and that's how I got to New York. So okay. I went from Georgia to Idaho, then Idaho back to Georgia, and then Georgia to New York.
Okay.
And now I'm in Jersey. Yes, I'm in Jersey now because after I got my job in New York, COVID hit. So I settled in and then COVID hit. And then the company shut down for a couple of months. And then I just decided to do full time because literally a month after shutdown happened in New York, I want to say March of 2020. My business like skyrocketed. I literally couldn't go back to work because I just had so much work of my own. So
I love that.
I guess goals. I'm doing this now.
But talking about business, since we've discussed a little bit about how you work and a little bit about the services you provide, let's talk about how you started.
Absolutely. I was saying I had no idea I was going to do this. It didn't even cross my mind whatsoever. However, I kind of dibbled and dabbled in consulting like back in 2019. And I was just like, I was feeling very unsure about it. One, because I just felt like I was working full time at the time. So I kind of felt ethically that it was wrong for me to be doing that. So I was like, okay, let me not do this. Let me do something else. So I think I was just kind of like helping with like ingredient list and things like that, like very small things that doesn't really require much innovation or formulating or things like that, just very clerical things. And then I left my job in Idaho at the end of 2019 because I wanted a change. I had been there for 5.5 years and I'm originally from Georgia. I was just talking about like, I noticed that most of the brands, like once I started consulting, I noticed that most of the brands that I was working with had hit glass ceilings, right? For various different reasons. Like none of the reasons were the same, but it was primarily just like lack of access to someone like me and you. Literally me and you. Like, and they don't really know like all the inner workings that it takes. So that's kind of like where we are now. I love it here. I love that awesome. I get to help so many people and that just want to be successful. Like literally just want to be successful. They need the tools and they need the knowledge and they need the assistance. So that's what we're doing now.
I love that. Isn't it crazy that as many years as this, you know, beauty has been in our space and a part of women's lives, like it never dawned on someone like, oh, provide exclusive resources. I mean, I'm thankful because now I have a business, but like it never dawned on anyone to like provide customized services to smaller businesses.
No.
And provide that space for innovation and, you know, give them the resources they need to succeed. And it makes me realize like how much of a capitalist society we really are, because some of my clients have the coolest ideas and the most innovative thoughts that like, I'm insulted that wasn't part of an R&D team that created it. Like, you know, like this person who is a mom or someone who like is a lawyer has this awesome idea for a new skincare brand or hair care treatment that absolutely works, has a great following. And all they need is just the resources that we provide to perfect the formula, add some sort of stability and promote it in the right way. But the fact that like, no one ever freaking thought of this. Like, come on. There's so many brilliant brands that I see. And, you know, you're obviously working with a couple of them and so am I. And I chatted with folks who also provide their resources to them. There's just so many great ideas that are coming down the pipeline that I'm like, I can't believe that we didn't think of this sooner. And we didn't like make this space available and accessible. I love that that's what you advocate for. Cause you know, we spoke about this. It's totally part of why I found my space in this industry. I found, you know, as a brand owner, I found myself lacking the resources I needed to succeed. I was on a budget. I had low MOQs. I had the resources as far as like, you know, access to the manufacturers of the raw materials and, you know, access to the formulations. But when it came to creating my tangible product, nothing was accessible to me. Mm-hmm. No one was there to help me, you know, design the bottle within my price range. No one was there to help me, you know, find a manufacturer within my price range and find just supplies within the MOQ that I needed. So I found myself struggling. And then as I was able to chat with more folks and be available to more folks, I realized like, oh, wow, there's this entire space of independent beauty brand owners that have amazing ideas and can't get the backing or resources available to them to develop this product. And so like they've had this wonderful formula for sometimes generations that they've been carrying around from like grandma yes. used to put this in my hair and it worked. And so we've been doing this since as long as I could remember. And then now it's like a tangible, now that they want to make it a tangible product, there's no resources available to them in this space for them yeah. to create it, absolutely. Which is insane. But I'm so glad that
injustice. Mm-hmm. It's yeah. an injustice. Like I would say my biggest thing is like my biggest passion, like what I do, I was like, I want better for my community. Like yeah. I just want better for my community because mm-hmm. like a lot of my people in my community want to launch a brand, and because they lack resources, they're doing it in honestly illegal ways. like yeah. a non-FDA ways, and they just have no idea. And I'm like, it's okay, you know, like I know mm-hmm. that it's okay, but I see the problem, you know, I see the problem and I want to be a solution to it.
I love that.
Yes. I love it too, because, you know, even when you get into it, like we're talking about actually getting the capital and mm-hmm. like getting to the point of where you're launching, but past that, you know, like what to look for or how to avoid risk. Like making the best decision to where you're not going to be spending a lot of money, mm-hmm. your cost savings, you know, like working with people who can help you do that is important too.
Yeah, I think I've seen that on social media lately too, where, you know, spending the money on a research and development chemist the first time saves you a ton of money later on when you're trying to like do a pilot batch and scale up and things are falling apart.
Oh my
God. I know it seems like a lot of money to most of us. I mean, you know, it's not like we have all of those resources accessible, but if there's any advice that I can give you as a product development chemist is get it right the first time, spend the 6 to 8 months developing it, making sure it's a stable formula, go through the process of doing really good research and development with, to be honest, some of the huge corporations don't take the time to do it. If I'm really frank, they don't go through the full rigorous stability process, but they can afford to. They can afford a recall. Exactly. They can afford to, know, phase things out. But if you spend, I know that it's, you know, we want instant gratification for things, but spending the money, spending the time, being very patient with your formula will pay off in the long haul as a product development person that, you know, gets the product after all of that is done and starts, you know, phasing it into a final prototype. That's the most important part of your whole development process. And if it's the most expensive, it's 100% worth it. It sucks to, you know, design a beautiful product, have amazing packaging, have a beautiful label, have somewhere to market it, have a vendor, but then your formula isn't stable. And then you're starting at zero again and you can't launch. So one thing I can give to listeners and anyone who's deciding to be a brand owner is resources like Rachel's are really, really important. And I know that sometimes, you know, we want, like I said, instant gratification, but that in and of itself, if you want an absolutely innovative formula that's stable, take that time to be patient. I feel like I'm always, like I said, managing people's expectations. It is so hard to convince folks that like, I know that, you know, the L'Oreal's and the Fenty Beauties of the world can it looks like it launched within a month because they announced it a month ago. There's been like sometimes years of product development going into that product. So you have to be very patient if you want to have a good solid formula. And that's my little spiel as a product developer. And I'm done.
Oh my God.
I hope my clients hear this.
I hope my clients hear this. I'm like, let me add something to this. No, seriously.
Go for it. Like we're always preaching.
Yes, I'm over here like clapping. I'm like, you is like jumping up and down. Yes. But she said, yes.
It saves us a headache.
It's worth the money. It's totally worth the money. It's worth the time.
Mm-hmm.
Don't rush your chemist, okay? If your chemist tells you that they need more time with the formula, give them time. Mm-hmm. Give them time.
Don't rush your chemists.
Don't
rush the R&D team. It's never going to work.
It's not.
Doesn't matter what quarter you want to launch.
Yes.
It's never
going to be. To threaten you. This is all experience. Okay. This is what we both have seen.
The woes of an R&D chemist. Yeah.
Eyeballs. Okay. Mm-hmm. Experience. I'm telling you.
We should name this episode The Cries of an R&D Chemist. Like, please don't rush us.
No, seriously. We're saying this for both of us. Like, mm-hmm. me, I would prefer not to be stressed. One, I would prefer not to be stressed because it's already stressful to get a stable formula mm-hmm. with everything that you ask for. But on top of that, also stressful because we're trying to make sure that you're okay as well, you know, because mm-hmm. if things go crazy after we're done doing our job, who do you think you're going to come back and talk to? Yeah. Rachel,
the troubleshooter.
Yeah, you're going to come back and talk to my chemist and you're going to ask your chemist questions and it's going to be a tough love situation. you know, it's going to be like, hey,
it also makes
we need more time.
Yeah, it also makes it like interactive. I think one thing that I love about working with my formulator, which actually you guys have heard from too, Ariel Niseda, she's the formulator for most of my brands. I contract a lot of it out, but Ariel and I have we just work so well together. But the good thing about being collaborative and taking your time with a formula with an R&D person and having a formulation chemist is that if there is a problem and it comes to troubleshoot, they can look just like by holding it up.
Yeah.
You guys have this like ingenious skill. I have no idea. It's like better than Superman. You literally can like look at the formula and be like, oh, that was a preservative. You took the time to develop the formula. We collaborated through the entire experience. We know the touch and feel and the overall consumer experience we want to develop. Your R&D chemist can troubleshoot something instantly because you allowed the time for things to develop correctly.
Exactly.
So if and when that happens, even if there is an issue, you can go back to Rachel really quickly and she'll be like, you know what? I had a feeling it was the fragrance. And at the very least, it's something that you can collaborate and work on and fix that much faster and probably make more affordably. This is, again, PD person yelling through the microphone.
It's with love. Like I said,
yeah, it is. I want it to succeed as much as you want it to succeed.
Exactly.
Like that's the difference between, I guess, working with folks like us that do it independently is that I'm very invested in your brand growth. I care so much about your product because it reflects as my product. It reflects as my work. Baby. So it does come from a place of true love where like, I can't grow if you don't grow. So this is all. Yeah. I feel like this whole section is a whole other episode. I might just take it out and put it as a bonus.
No, it totally is because I've been waiting for this moment literally for a long time because, you know, I'm very passionate. So sometimes it comes off wrong, mm-hmm. but it's totally from a place of love. Like I literally am super invested. Like mm-hmm. every formula is my baby. It's my offspring, you know, I want to watch it grow and prosper and be there for graduations. I want to be there for all of that. Okay.
Yeah. And we must sound insane to some of the listeners. So it might be harder to understand. And I know that we're getting like very emotional and very excited about it, but this is exactly what my everyday with my clients is. I absolutely get every time they have a success, I get so excited.
Yeah.
And if there's any, and I say this to my clients all the time, if there's anything they need, like, if you have no idea I had a client that I kept using like jargon that was familiar to me. Like I kept saying SKU or I kept saying, you know, like unit, and I kept using certain verbiage. And at some point she was like, Genesis, I need you to understand that I've been listening, but I have no idea what you're referring to. And I also love that exchange of education too, because if I make more space in the beauty industry for you, then I'm making more space for people that share our community and represent us as a whole. So finding your success and my success means allowing more room at the table and setting up more chairs, which is so important to me. So to those listeners that are like, these two are just crazy blabbing over there, It's so personal and so emotionally tethered to like watching other people succeed, much like you said, seeing my community represented in like the best light and building it and making it better. But I feel like I'm finding myself in that space that you just described where I'm like, I'm fine. Like, this is a really lucrative career. And I think I said this in the last podcast. It's a $72 billion business. I'm fine. Don't worry about me.
We're all fine.
Like, I'm good over here. It's an unsaturated market when it comes to R&D folks that look like me, that represent my community in an industry that's worth $72 billion. I am fine. Like, I definitely have work. I'm totally okay. It's like a niche little space. Like, not everybody can do chemistry. We're good over here.
Girl, you better talk that. You better say that.
Like, honestly, that came from you. For the listeners, we had a wonderful intro conversation a few weeks ago where Rachel just like basically took me to church and sat me down and gave me the full reading rights. She just like laid down the law for me about, you know, being in this entrepreneurial space and representing myself well and advocating for myself in that way. And, you know, having that self-confidence and self-awareness to be like, you know, this is my value and asset as a consultant, and this is how it should be received. And in that 20, well, I guess we did it like we spoke for like an hour by mistake, but like in that time, she inspired me to really take hold of the phrases I was using and the way I was representing myself and my business, which is why I can now speak this highly about my business because of you.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, like you're so inspiring.
Embrace it, yes, and stick to it, because that, like I said, our position in this whole situation, we are the individuals that say no. So if we don't know how to say no, we're gonna be ran over. Burnt out and ran over, and you know, but that it is our responsibility to say no. And people try to make it seem like it's a bad thing, but it's a good thing, because us saying no means you're gonna be safe. You're gonna get good product. You're gonna get all good things come from your chemist saying no.
Yeah.
And your product development person saying no too.
Yeah. It's like, Matt, I say that 87% of my job is managing other people's expectations and really like slowing them down and saying, okay, you can launch 7 SKUs in 30 days. They're not going to be great, but they will get done. Like, if you want a quality product, I need you to be very patient with me, because it doesn't, you know, it doesn't happen overnight. Since we're talking about business, why don't you tell us a little bit about your consulting services and what you offer now and what you do for your clients?
Absolutely. So right now I offer custom formulation services for research and development. So I work with a wide variety of clients, from startups to mastige. So at any point in time, you know, if they need new ideas, new products to add to their line or to start a new line, we offer R&D services to help build custom formulations based upon, you know, the customer's expectations. So what was I going to say? The process, the process is normally like 6 to 9 months for us to get it all together, just the formula. And then we also help, once the formulation is done, we help transition from R&D into manufacturing. So we help with all of those things that a lot of people don't know about, like all those steps that it takes to get your formula actually into packaging and on the market. It takes a lot of time to do that. So we help with that as well. And that's what we're doing right now. Like you said, it's a very lucrative, lucrative business. But I love that the stage that I'm in right now, because most of my clients are Black women.
Awesome.
And unfortunately, throughout my entire career, I have not been able to work with brands of color and women of color. So I'm super excited about that. I would say that, you know, like as I transitioned into consulting and working independently, I noticed that there was a lot of things that were wrong in our industry. As far as like inclusivity, yes, inclusivity and all of this other stuff, but it's more than just foundation shades. Like the fact that we're talking about foundation shades, there's a lot of stuff that happens behind that.
I'm like nodding my head aggressively over here. Like, I'm just like, tell them.
Right. It's a lot of stuff that happens behind that creates it to where you have those foundation shades, right? Mm-hmm. There needs to be people in place and representation in all of those areas so that every brand can have this. Every consumer can have access to a product that will benefit their life. So that's what I do now. I help brands that hit glass ceilings. You know, I help brands that can't get past, you know, some of the obstacles that they're facing, and just in the business world, you know, I made myself accessible. I noticed that a lot of people don't know what a chemist is, even though they have a brand.
Mm-hmm. You know, in the room, no one really could understand, but now that I've been chatting with you guys, it's been like, oh my God, like such a lovely space of like understanding, which is totally so nice.
Totally get it. That's why I love it here, because like I said, I get to help everyone that I come in contact with, not mm-hmm. just brands, but other chemists, other Black women chemists, other male Black chemists, like, mm-hmm. you know, like the Black chemist situation is totally what is eating me up right now, because, you know, like, it's just a lot of stuff that I experienced, just like what you said, I experienced, and I felt crazy. Mm-hmm. I felt alone, gaslit, you know, people telling me that it wasn't happening. And if it did happen, you know, I overreacted to, you know, all of that mm-hmm. typical stuff. Mm-hmm. And, you know, now that I'm here on the other side of it,
yeah,
I am totally not going to let anyone feel that way about themselves just from the environment that they're in, you know?
Yeah. And that brings us back to like our conversation together. I feel like I spoke to you after a very long day and I was really struggling with, you know, building my business and feeling comfortable with client conversations and representing myself well, because, you know, I know the resources I can provide. I love what I do. I have such a passion for product development. Like, I don't know how to explain how much I enjoy like guiding someone through the development process and being there when they see their first prototype. Yeah. It makes me so happy. So cool. So now you work with obviously all types, but what's your favorite thing to do? Cause I know like every formulator has like their thing, color cosmetics, skincare, personal care, hair care. What's your favorite thing to work on?
That is so hard to
really.
This is going to sound super arrogant, but
no, not at all.
I feel confident in a lot of subject matters.
So good.
Yeah.
So she's a dependable R&D chemist, guys.
Yeah, I would say I feel confident. Oh my gosh. I do feel confident in a lot of subject matters when it comes to formulation, but I would say like the things that get me most excited is just like something totally new, right? Something new that mm-hmm. I hadn't thought of. So like the combinations of these categories, like I don't want to say it out loud.
No, don't. I mean, NDAs, NDAs, shush.
Yeah, right. I was like, I have an NDA, but I'm just saying.
NDAs, yeah. But like innovation in mixtures of the
yes,
different applications of things.
Different applications, bright, vibrant.
Look at me like pulling right in as a PD person, like the applications right. When we're done and they launch, we'll tell you about them in 2022.
And I was like, she's totally PD.
Yeah.
I was like, so ingredients, right? Like I'm totally about new ingredients. So any way that I can take an ingredient and apply it, right, to multiple areas in different ways, like that's what I love to do. But I do formulate mostly SPF products, OTC products. So
cool.
And love color that. Cosmetics is up there. Hair care. It's a big one for me, but only because that's kind of like a majority of what my clients are interested in. But I'm good with formulating that as well. I do enjoy it because I love trying them out.
What I appreciate the most is like I'm an outsider, right? And I think you guys have your community, like you mentioned, you guys have, you know, the Chem Sisters group chat, and you guys at the very least have connected in the past. And I just found you because I was seeking people that were like-minded and women in STEM. And thanks to the internet, I have found my new group of, you know, inspiring friends in this industry. But what I appreciate is that you mentioned we don't necessarily see each other as true competition. If anything, I've gotten the best advice from folks like you and Cindy and Nicole and Asia. And it's like, we all kind of do the same thing. Obviously, like I'm not a formulator. I'm just a chemist. But the fact that every time I reach out to folks, even though we technically provide similar services, you guys haven't been like, oh, I don't want to, no, I can't share my secrets with you, or like been like exclusive about, oh no, I don't talk to you because I don't know you. Like everyone has been so pleasant and so open to chatting with me, even though like, you know, we're just getting to know each other and we only know each other virtually. But it's been so nice to like find a space where I don't feel like I'm fighting someone. Cause even, I don't know if you've experienced this, but like in R&D, lab benches are a sacred space. You can't even go onto someone else's lab bench without starting some shit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like you can't even take the scale off of someone's lab bench before you like, oh, don't, now all of a sudden you're like lunchtime news or something.
Yeah.
So like having this community of women where like, I'm just chopping it up with you guys and getting tons of great advice. And, you know, like we're chatting for longer than 2 hours by mistake. Like it's so different. And such a safer space than I feel like I'm used to with our industry, because everything is always like very like, I don't want to say that it's so siloed, but you know, there's the guys in the lab, they have their own thing, even down to the I don't know if you've experienced it, but like down to the music we pick when we're in the lab, like that's like a weird hierarchy thing. Yeah, so there's a lot.
And how Rachel was lunchtime news.
Oh no. Yeah, so these conversations are going to go forever. But that's what I love the most about, you know, that's what I've loved the most about the podcast episodes. It's just like, you guys have been so pleasant. Let me just like completely get involved and grow this community. And, you know, hopefully we together, we can inspire more women in STEM to either get involved with the podcast and join the conversation, or get involved in STEM, or learn a little bit about the industry, or feel less isolated. So I love chatting with you. And I thank you so much for just allowing me into your space.
For inviting me. I'm super excited about this. Like, so excited to be talking to all your followers and mine too.
Yeah.
About all the things that we love to talk about. And
it's not over. There's so much more.
I feel very safe. I feel like we're talking about literally like the stuff that happens to chemists and PD, like in our area of the business that a lot of people overlook or don't even know exists. So I'm super
Awesome. So I'm going to let you go. This is going to be the last two questions because we have, the listeners don't know, but we have been almost 3 hours into this one. It's been a long time.
Gabby.
Yeah. I mean, it's just, obviously you are the charismatic chemist. You're such a great energy. I've loved talking to you. This has been so inspiring and also reassuring. I really appreciate everything you've said today. Definitely what I needed to hear. But yeah, I'm happy to have you on soon. Just the last two questions I ask all of my guests that I think are really important, and I tend to be the best pieces of advice. So one is, what is the best piece of advice you would give your undergraduate self?
Oh my goodness. Okay. I love this question. I would tell a younger Rachel in undergrad that not to stress so much about what you're going to do after graduation, because the possibilities are endless. Like, just get that degree, girl. Get that degree, and then once you get it, it's going to be up from there. You know, you can do whatever you want. You can go in any area you want with that and change. It doesn't have to be immediately after graduation. It could be 10 years after graduation.
It's true. That degree has opened up so many opportunities. Because there's just so many avenues that I think people, I mean, we're going to have a whole conversation about all the things you can do in STEM by mistake by getting a degree and working in cosmetic science. So that's a great piece of advice, is just like, chill out. It's going to be fine. I think we talked about it. This industry is fine. We're going to definitely always have work.
It's going to be here. It's a very mature industry. It's been here since the beginning of time. It will be here in the future. It's just going to look a little different.
It's going to look so different. If you know, if it's up to us, it's going to look real different real soon.
Oh, it's going to look real different.
It already does. I mean, you know, just even having this little community is just so, it's so inspiring. I don't know. I can't say thank you enough to all of the folks that have been a part of the podcast, or even just like supported the podcast, because I felt alone for so long, and it's so nice to have friends in this space. So I really, really appreciate it.
I definitely relate to that, and I very appreciate appreciative to be here. I'm learning. I'm meeting new people through the podcast as well.
Yeah.
Every episode, I'm like, oh my gosh, this is somebody I don't know. And then it's somebody I do know, and I get to learn a little bit more about them. So it's just so awesome. I'm really appreciative too. We totally need this space. We do.
I'm so happy. I'm so glad it's being well received. Okay. So the last thing is, what is the best piece of professional advice that you've received that you still live by?
Ooh. Oh my gosh. Actually, the piece of advice that I've gotten that I still live by is from one of my mentors. They before I got into the industry, they told me my path. they told me my path, or the path that I should take based off of my personality and my skills and talents. And that advice was to do a few years in contract manufacturing, do a few years at a corporate company, like a big company like L'Oreal or Estee Lauder. I did one that was kind of similar. And then go into consulting. And it was like a structure of like how to progress in the best way to get the maximum like out of your career, like the learning curve, right? That's what they called it. Like, this is how you learn the most fast so you can spread it across your career. And I'm sticking to it, definitely.
Yeah.
I did that subconsciously. Like, I had it in my head, but I didn't really bring it to the forefront until now. And I was like, wow, I did that.
It's like they planned their trajectory. Order. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's so because I went that trajectory, like, I totally see why it was beneficial to do it that way. You know, like skipping the master's and waiting until later, you know, and how it was an asset to do that.
That is such another conversation for another day.
Like, yeah. I was like, I'm going to go get a master's. I'm not going to go work. I'm going to go. And they told me, like, this is what you should do. And I promise that it's going to feel weird, but if you do it, you're going to see why.
That plan. My name is Jennifer Velasquez, and I approve this message.
We're going to talk about that.
Cool. Okay, so I think that I 100% feel that. I feel like I have to go back into this episode and catch the moments where we're like, okay, that's an episode. And I'll send you a list of like, here are the five episodes we're doing. Yeah, we'll figure it out. I'll send you all the times that.
We totally should do that. I'm so excited. I totally think that we could totally use any of this to be like, bring other people on to talk about certain things.
Yeah.
Like different people in the industry to talk about. Like,
it might be awesome to have a second host at some point. So. If you have availability. We gotta first of all, you gotta text me, we gotta find a date, and then we'll talk business.
Today the 12th. I want to do it before we get off the phone so I don't forget. I have something next Saturday, but I don't have a car Saturday. By the way. I'm still car shopping, but
don't have a car either. I've been bumming off of my parents' car.
Nice. I wish I could do that.
It's okay. We'll find somewhere in between.
Five cars.
Wait, where are you located?
I'm in Piscataway, like right outside.
Oh, yeah, you're not far. I can scoop you up. We'll figure it out.
Yeah, let's do it.
I'm recording a podcast on Saturday, but I'm available after, I believe, 2:00.
Okay. Well, we can do Sunday. I'm okay with any weekends. We can get some coffee. We can go get something to eat.
Let's finish out this episode. This has been way too much fun. Thank you, Rachel, so much for joining me. I can't tell you how much I've enjoyed chatting with you and now having a brand new friend. Thank you so much for joining us on the podcast. Can you, you want to tell everybody where to find you and where to follow you?
Hey, you can find me on Instagram at The Charismatic Chemist, or you can search Rachel Johnson and I will pop up. I also am on LinkedIn as Rachel Johnson. I'm on Clubhouse as CC Rachel, it's Charismatic C. I'm sorry. Okay. CC Rachel Johnson is my Twitter.
Okay.
So I'm on all the social media platforms. Well, it started as a creative outlet, and for me to reach people that wouldn't normally know about my position or what I do. And of course it will turn into a funnel eventually. But right now I just want to build an organic, authentic following that I can reach out to and be my safe space to share the person who I am and also the stuff that I work on and things I'm doing.
Awesome.
Yeah, so that's my Instagram page. I'm where you can find all the action.
All the fun stuff.
Yes.
All right. Awesome. I just want to thank you again. So we'll have you on soon. Thank you guys for listening. We'll catch you later.
Toodles.